Our reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 13, starting to read at verse 45. The parable of the pearl. Again, the kingdom is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The parable of the net. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous, and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. They replied, yes. Jesus said to them, therefore, every scholar who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Amen.
So this is the last in the series that we are looking at. David's got a sermon that he's doing next week. Not sure what it's on yet, but he's got a sermon next week. And then we start Advent. And so we have been looking at this series on the kingdom of God, how we work together to build the kingdom of God. And today we're looking at, as I said earlier, sharing our faith. I've started reading historical novels. I'm not really a novel person, but I, to join a book club, and then Hilary got me into these historical novels that we were doing, and vice versa, and be sharing the ideas behind them. But I am really challenged by the one that I'm reading at the moment. It's situated in the early church in Corinth with Nero as Caesar. If you know anything about Nero, you know he wasn't very favourable towards the Christians. The two main characters are stepsisters. The mother and daughter are Christians, and she lost her husband, and the father and the other daughter, her sister, are worshippers of Jupiter, who was the main god of those in Corinth. And the daughter in particular worshipped Aphrodite because she was the god of love and beauty. And so we've got these sort of split in this family, but the Christian daughter risks her life sharing her faith with her mean sister, who actually buys curses trying to harm her sister, and also is so cruel in so many ways, even to the point of trying to get her killed. The Christian daughter, though, through God's strength, spirit and love, continues to pray for her stepsister, even when she's seen and knows all that's been going on. She does not give up praying for her. And in the book, God is called Adonai. She doesn't give up praying for her stepsister to actually receive Adonai as her Lord and Saviour instead of Caesar. I've been really challenged by this sister. Her name is Mariana, who out of love shares her faith with her servant and with her husband too, which was through an arranged marriage, both of whom eventually accept Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. And this was on the basis of how kind she was, how just, how caring, how loving, and how humbly she shared when the Spirit prompted about her Lord and Saviour, and how they noticed how she kept going back to, they called it, the scrolls of Paul, in other words, the letters of Paul. She kept going back to them looking for answers of how do I live? How do I share? What do I do in these different situations? Her husband finally says, I worship the Lord, when she is called upon to worship Jupiter, and she refuses. And he realizes that the Lord means so much to her that she is willing to lay her life down. She is willing to say, no, I will not serve Caesar as my Lord. I will only serve our Lord and Saviour. And at that point, he comes to know Jesus as well. Do you know, I'm challenged as the writer is demonstrating to me that the most loving act I can do for anyone, because she loved her servant, she loved her husband, she loved her stepsister. The most loving act I can do is to pray for them to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour and King. You know, my prayer is so often, I'd love to see them in the safety of God's kingdom, where they can encounter God's love, his joy, his peace, his kindness, his goodness, his forgiveness. I'm challenged and I want to demonstrate God's love and care for others, just as she did. And moreover, I think the most loving thing we can do is consider how we can share about our Lord and Saviour with those around us. I think this is what love is about. And this is the challenge that I've had from this novel. I think this starts with helping people understand your before and after story. You have a before and you have an after story. In fact, you have lots of before and after stories about how Jesus has impacted your life. And what encouraged me as I was listening to your stories and watching you speak, you all have the skill of sharing a before and after story. Yeah, you have that skill. It's just translating that skill into thinking about the before and after stories of Jesus in your life. You know, what has the impact been of having God as our Father on your life? I mean, I know for me that the moment my mum said, I can't be your mum and dad. I can only be your mum. But let me introduce you and tell you more about your Heavenly Father. And after that, I actually had a Heavenly Father, unlike my earthly father, who could go with me wherever I was available to talk to at any moment in time, and actually was far more powerful than my earthly father. We have before and after stories to share about God the Father, about the Son Jesus, and about the Holy Spirit. I wonder what your before and after stories are like. You know, I was thinking about this. I was thinking, like I said at the beginning, I'm not really envious of Karen's 5 Christmas meals. But I used to struggle with jealousy and envy. And I think it's a teenage problem, isn't it? And I remember being set free by the Lord from that. And I was like, oh, wow, I have a before and after story here. Some of you know I was a cripple from the age of 18 to 24. I could not walk. The only way that I could get to the pub at university was being put in a Sainsbury's trolley, and it was very uncomfortable, can I tell you that? And wheeled down to the local pub. Fortunately, it wasn't too far, but it was very bumpy. You know, but the Lord miraculously healed me after 10 years. But after 10 years, I've walked 30 treks in the Himalayas. I mean, and so those who know the before, you know, could not believe each newsletter I sent home from Nepal when, yeah, here's another trek and here's another climb 2,000 meters up, you know, and they're like, oh my goodness, this is a before and after story. I don't know about you, but I, even at the age of 10, when I came to know Jesus, I carried the burden of guilt and shame without even realizing it. And I think I've told you before, I literally felt I was floating. I kept looking down to think, I'm floating above the ground. I felt so light when that burden was lifted, and it's never come back again. I used to be fearful. I can now live in peace. And I've told you the story before as well, as I couldn't read at the age of 10. And then I became a Christian at the age of 10, and suddenly I began to read. I failed exams quite spectacularly. And then I really got to know the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has enabled me to be a couple of degrees and postgraduates and 2 master's degrees later. Do you know what I mean? My sisters look at me because they knew what I was like as a kid. And they marvel, because this is the before and after impact of what God has on our lives. I wonder what impact Jesus has had on your life, your family's lives, your friends, the people that you have learnt about in Bible stories, the impact he's had on your church, the impact on your village or town or nation. We have before and after stories to tell people. And my prayer for us today is that we remember them and that we are given the divine opportunities to share them. So let's look at these passages. We have looked at an awful lot of parables about the kingdom and verses about the kingdom, but we haven't looked at these yet. So I thought, well, let's do a few of the ones that we haven't looked at yet and just see again how God is expanding our understanding of his kingdom. And so Matthew in chapter 13, maybe you know your Bible that well, but at the beginning of chapter 13, it's the parable of the sower. And that's where we started. And the point of the parable of the sower in Matthew 13:11 is to remind you that when the parables are spoken, you have been given the gift to see, know, and understand the secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom that come in those parables. And the first parable was of the pearl. And the idea behind this pearl is to remind us just how precious God's kingdom is, how precious it is, how wonderful, how incredible, how marvelous his kingdom is, to the point that you would be willing to give up absolutely everything for it. That's how precious God's kingdom is. You know, and I was challenged again. I've been really challenged by the sermon myself, you know, preach to myself, Judith, first, and then I'll let you know it. I'll let you in. But it's like, I wonder how precious is God's kingdom to us? Because, you know, when something is really special to us, we can't not share it. I mean, you know, we've got a family WhatsApp. I'm sure you have too. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, people just can't not share. And just as I was preparing this sermon, I got two lovely pictures in from George and Pam. The first one was about Rosie. She is a writer. She wrote a story about I Have a Dream. And she is now a published author that it says will be permanently archived in the British National Library. So there was no way that George and Pam weren't going to take a photo of the letter and send that round to the family. And on the same day, little Evie got Star of the Day award at nursery. We can't help ourselves sharing about the things that are really special and precious to us. And my prayer is that the kingdom of God becomes so precious and special to us that God, Father, our Father, you know, Jesus and Holy Spirit become so precious to us that we start sending little photos or little messages about them to others. And I know Karen Banner already does that. Quite often in the WhatsApp group, you've sent something that have just that is spoken to, I know, people at that moment in time, just to say, hey, remember, this is who our God is. This is what his kingdom is like. How precious is God's kingdom to you? Is it so precious that you can't help yourself but share it? And the second parable is about catching fish in a net and reminds us that God's desire is to have everyone as part of his kingdom. He loves to say everyone is welcome. If you think of the, you know, the banquet, it's like everyone's welcome. A lot of people, though, choose not to come to a banquet. I promise you, if somebody invited me to a banquet, I would say yes. But there are people out there who perhaps don't realize how amazing this banquet is and don't realize that everybody, absolutely everybody, is invited. But people do choose not to receive Jesus' righteousness. That's the point of the parable. And they choose instead to go their own way. And the consequence is that they are outside the kingdom for eternity. And at the moment, remember, God's hand is staying the presence of evil in this land. I can't imagine just pure evil without the light and presence of God. But that's where outside of his kingdom is for eternity. And again, out of love for others, I want to say, please be in his kingdom. I don't know if you remember, right at the beginning, we said, you know, Nicodemus was saying, I don't know how to get into God's kingdom. I don't understand what you're talking about. And Jesus said that classic phrase, be born again. And he's like, what? I can't go into my mother's womb. But the idea is, how do you enter God's kingdom? You enter God's kingdom by being born again of water, which means repent. Repent of doing things your way and choose to follow Jesus, and being born again of the Spirit. In other words, receiving his Spirit so that you can actually follow him. I'm quite blown away by the next part in the passage because Jesus is like, have you understood all these parables? Have you understood the Sermon on the Mount, as it were, all the parables I've been teaching you? Have you grasped what the kingdom of God is like? And the disciples are like, yes, yes. And he says, therefore. Therefore is one of the most powerful words in Scripture, because it's there because of what's gone before. Therefore, he says, because you have heard what I've been saying, because I've explained these parables to you, because you are my disciples. And for us, because we are his disciples in Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit, he says, this is who you are and what you can do about the knowledge of my kingdom. So therefore, every scholar, or sometimes it's written, every teacher of the law. Now, to me, I just excluded myself from that. And then I actually read it properly and understood what this means. Jesus says, therefore, every disciple is a scholar. Every disciple of mine is a teacher of the law. Why? Because I've given you the ability to see, hear, know, and understand the secrets and mysteries of God's kingdom. So I'd like you just to look at the person next to you and just say, I'm a scholar of Jesus' will and ways. Please explain. I am a scholar of Jesus' will and ways. I am a scholar of Jesus' will and ways. Yeah. I mean, I hope you go out and just think, you know, it's believing, isn't it? It's not waiting till I see it. It's believing it. You are a scholar of Jesus' will and ways, not because of who we are, but because of who he is and what he's given us. That ability. But a disciple is a learner, isn't it? So a disciple is someone who says daily, I want to learn so that I can be the scholar, so that I know his will and ways, so I can say, what's happening there is not God's will and ways. I can pray for that. I can perhaps do something. I can bring about God's love, peace, joy, justice. You know, it is not right, the distribution of income in this land. It is not right how so many families suffer and struggle. And that's why you've said, I want to do something about it, and look at the table full of things for FSW to say, we want to change the distribution in this country. We want to bring about some justice in our local area. It may be in a minor way, but we are doing something. We are demonstrating God's kingdom to these families. A learner, a scholar says, look, that isn't kingdom. Lord, help me know how to bring your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as it says there. And then it says, but you're like an owner of a house. We are part of God's household. You know what I mean? We have inherit the kingdom of God. We inherit everything. We're part of his family. You know, when I lived in my mum's house, it was like I was the owner of the house because I had a key. I walked in, I walked out. You know, we are part of God's household. We're part of his family. Remember I said that, you know, you're looking around at your brothers and sisters in Christ. We are family. We have one Father, one Spirit, one Lord Jesus that we worship. We are the owner of God's house. We're part of his kingdom. Here it's talking about it being like a home. And then the concept again, I don't know, maybe I'm trying to explain the context and the content at the same time here, and hopefully you're getting it. Old and new. Why is he talking about old and new treasures? You have old and new things in your house. And of course, actually having read some of these historical novels and understood the culture of his times now, I realized that if you actually possess both old and new tunics, old and new furniture, you are incredibly wealthy. Most people just had one tunic. Yeah. And so if you've got a pile of old stuff and new stuff, you are incredibly wealthy. And he's like, you've got treasures, it says in some versions. You have that amount of wealth in your home. Yeah, just tell the person next to you, I'm incredibly wealthy. I mean, I hope you go home sort of thinking, I'm a scholar. Yeah, I'm a scholar and I am incredibly wealthy, because that's the point of this passage. The point of this passage is saying, I am wealthy because I know and understand God's kingdom. I am wealthy because I can see and hear the secrets and mysteries of it. I am wealthy because I can live in a way of righteousness, because I understand what righteousness and I've received Christ's righteousness. I am wealthy because I have received his love. I have received his joy, his peace, his kindness, his goodness, and his forgiveness. I am wealthy because I've experienced God as my Father. Jesus is my somebody closer than a brother, and the Holy Spirit is my nurturer, guide, counselor, and helper. I am wealthy because of the impact Jesus has had on my life. I am so wealthy that I can walk around with no guilt and shame. I can be delivered from evil. I can be healed, restored, and forgiven. I am so wealthy because the Lord has said, I can set you free from anger and rage and bitterness and hate and replace that with love. We have treasures, incredible treasures, old and new in our house that we can then give at the appropriate time and place to others. To conclude, will you share your wealth with others? Share the treasures you have been given about God and his kingdom. Will you share the impact, the before and after stories of Jesus, Holy Spirit, and our Father in your lives? And will you share that in word and deeds? This is who you said you were when I came. I hope it's still who you want to be. But I thought it would be a good reminder as we end this series, just to say together again our vision and our mission statement together. So let's say this together. Working together to build the kingdom, our mission, PBBC, united in faith and empowered by the Holy Spirit, aim to grow in our knowledge and love of Jesus, to love, care for, and encourage each other, to help others to get to know Jesus through words and actions. And my prayer is that even over tea and coffee, just as at the beginning of the service you shared about the impact of mobile phones, can you think of a story that you can share with somebody else of the impact that you have received from Father, Son, and or Holy Spirit? Let's pray. Father, you taught us to pray for your kingdom to come, your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, you taught us to pray to forgive others as you forgive us. You taught us to pray that we would be delivered from evil, that we would be led away from temptation. And Lord, all of this is so that we can see, hear, know, and understand the secrets and mysteries of your kingdom and demonstrate it and share it in the way that you've called us to as unique human beings. Lord, I know you every day want to give us divine appointments. And so, Lord, I pray that our hearts and minds would be receptive to those divine appointments to share about you and your ways. Lord, we thank you for your presence here this morning. And Lord, we pray as we come to our last song, build your kingdom here, that we would do that in us, among us, and around us. In Jesus' name. Amen.